Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us here in studio for the second half of the show is Sean Peterson. He's the founder and executive director of the Green Urban Lunchbox, which all started with a school bus converted into a mobile greenhouse. But as they describe their mission, it's a community food production agency engaging the community in local production to make fresh food accessible and affordable. So Sean, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So we have to start with the story of how you started this organization. Let's hear about the school bus.
Sure. So I was inspired out of this by a project out of New York called Truck Farm that puts gardens in the back of pickup trucks. And just drives them around and gets people excited about eating green, good food and growing food and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't have a pickup truck. So it turns out school buses are much cheaper than pickup trucks.
Really? Oh.
Much cheaper, yeah.
So much more space.
Yeah, and so, you know, the truth of it is we were trying to think of a creative place to put a garden, and I wanted to do something fun around food that would get people excited about growing food and thinking about where their food came from, and thinking about it in like this creative new light. Kind of thought I was in the restaurant industry and I had seen the restaurant side of food really transform, but not so much the farming side of food. And so I was really passionate about that. And we were just kind of looking for places or something to do. And we rode by a big junkyard in Salt Lake and there was like 20 buses in it. I was like, that might make a really cool greenhouse. And so the rest is what it is.
So you literally tear out the seats and put up growing boxes or so. And then of course, you have all the windows. That's natural light. So you have an actual greenhouse.
Yeah. So we, you know, it's undergone many renditions over the last 8 years. But when it started, yeah, we cut a big hole in the top, put plexiglass up there and filled it from, you know, the floor to about waist high with dirt and two big grow boxes down each side. And it's changed a little bit. It's a lot lighter now. There's a little less soil in there, but
But you still drive this. You were able to drive it around. That's the point.
Yeah.
You could transport this.
So yeah, we just created this, me and a small group of friends, and we just started driving it around to places.
Yeah.
And that's when I really became aware of like a lot of the holes in our food system because of that. So.
So from there, where did you expand? You know, you started with this school bus, and I know now you have a variety of other programs.
Yeah, so our second program actually is our Back Farms program. And what happened is I was driving this bus around to places, and senior citizens would always come up to me, and they would say, I have this big space in my yard. I don't garden it anymore because of X. You know, I fell, I broke my hip, my spouse has died, all of those kind of things. Will you find someone to garden it for me? And that's kind of what we thought we'd be at the beginning. It was just a side project. You know, we were all doing other work and just thought we could just connect some people to places. So I would take their number and try to connect them. And I made the mistake one day of giving my number to this woman, Fran. And she called me like every other day. Did you find someone? You know, it's getting really close to time to be planting. Who's going to do it? And I couldn't find anyone doing it. And so I just thought, I can't grow everything I'm eating in this school bus anyway. I might as well do it for her. And I had like this amazing experience. I became like part of Fran's life. Mm. Her grandkids would come out in the garden and garden with me. And they would eat things that young kids would never eat because they just pick it out of the garden and eat it. And then I started going to barbecues at Fran's house, and I started sharing food with her neighbors because we grew so much. And then we started donating some to the food bank. And I thought, this might be like this valuable piece. So the next year I decided like to actually form a nonprofit organization and like pilot this program and see if we could do something in this space. And so how that program works is we put gardens in low-income seniors' backyards. And then we pair the garden with young volunteers who want to learn how to organic garden. So they spend the whole year working in that garden, like to say from seed starting to seed saving, learning how to grow their own food. But all these other really cool things happen. The neighborhood's beautified. Seniors stay in their homes longer because There's, you know, someone to take care of the yard that they can no longer care for. There's right. someone stopping by to see them every week. You know, we're in their yard 2 hours a week. And so they have this chance to interact with us. All these like unlikely friendships are formed where the so many of our seniors and volunteers still are part of each other's lives years after that person's no longer in that garden. And so like all of that started to come out of that.
So this is taking property, homes that may already have a garden in them but are just being underused, or finding property, homes, or residents that have space where a garden could be established. So you're doing that assessment.
Yeah. You know, we kind of go out and look at the house and see, you know, what's the availability. And it's probably half and half. Half are yeah. people who have gardened before and half are people who haven't. But a lot of them are huge lots. I mean, our biggest garden in that program is over an eighth of an acre
wow.
in size.
That's huge.
So that's big. Yeah.
That's big.
How
yeah.
can you manage that in 2 hours a week?
So that's we have two that are about that size, and they get much more than 2 hours a week. Those are more like 6 hours a week. We have some smaller ones that get, you know, just a few yeah. hours. But
yeah.
So are the volunteers then, they themselves obviously may have a lot of experience in gardening, but they also may need some training too in some form to be able to, well, I guess not just grow, but they have to be socially adept. They, you know, they have some social, to go on the other people's properties, understand where they are, what they're doing, who they're working with. So there's a lot of education and awareness that goes into this.
Yeah, so I mean, the majority of our volunteers have had very little gardening experience ah. before. So they work, they're always on site with a staff member. And so they work hand in hand with that staff member learning all the ins and outs of gardening. But I would say 80% of them don't have the skill set to grow their own garden when they start the program.
I'm sorry, that's a good point, because volunteers may want to do this because they don't have access to a garden themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
live in an apartment complex.
Yeah,
or
we
something.
Get a lot of people who live in apartment complexes and things like that and just don't have access to space.
So once you set these gardens up, what happens with the produce? How much of it goes to the person that, you know, has the property and lives there, and what happens to the rest?
So we used to have kind of this really stringent, like, third dividing
okay.
program. And that's something that kind of stretches across some other stuff that we do. But what we found is we just let the seniors take whatever they want. And then the volunteers take whatever they need. And then all the rest actually goes to free farmers markets at senior centers. So we host 4 free farmers markets that rotate between Salt Lake City or Salt Lake County senior centers every week. And the produce is just free. Because there's a lot of demand for the program. And a lot of seniors kept coming to us saying, hey, could we get this in our yard too? And I'd say, well, I can't do one in every yard, but another way for those seniors to have access to that produce. So,
one of the things you mentioned that motivated you to get the organization going was that there were a lot of holes in the local food system. So talk a little bit about what you saw there.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we could talk for hours about holes
yeah.
in food systems,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I guess the ones that we wanted to address is just people looking at the resources that were already available in their communities to grow food. So our second oldest program is our fruit share program. And I think this is a good example of holes in a food system. Food waste is a huge issue. But we're trying to address this food waste before it gets to grocery stores or on farms or in people's yards, which nationwide accounts for enough food to feed about 45 to 50 million people a day. Which
wow.
is a lot of food that never leaves trees or yards or
so there's a lot of
farms.
Inefficiency in the system
yeah.
right now, basically.
And so our program, we go out and harvest people's unused fruit trees. So there's fruit trees all around this state. You know, the early settlers were very self-reliant, and there's mm-hmm. trees everywhere. And many of these trees are unique varieties that you'll never find anywhere else, and very productive. And so we go out and harvest those trees, you know, all across the Wasatch Front, and a little bit back in this area now, as we've started to come to the Wasatch back here.
Right.
The history aspect of that is pretty intriguing to me. Like, what are these sources and what are these?
Yeah, I mean, treats. I mean, some of these trees that we're harvesting are 100 plus years old. You know, planted by early settlers of the valley. And it was really cool. We've been harvesting a pear orchard that's in the middle of Murray. That those trees are 150 years old.
Wow.
And that's just fascinating.
Right.
Yeah. Are most of these on private property now or municipal property?
Most of them are on private property. So that tree, we actually sadly have lost that orchard this year because the woman who lived in that house, she fell last winter. She's 102 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Passed away. Oh. But her father had planted those trees.
Wow.
So, okay. So you mentioned senior citizens where you go and provide this service. Senior citizens. Do you also go into, say, low-income communities, other areas that have plots of land that could, or space or abandoned property that could be
used? Yeah. So we don't do a lot of that, like, growing in that sense. We have started kind of this offshoot of our back farm. So we, two things. First, we do have a 3-acre farm in Salt Lake. It's in South Salt Lake on 1100 West and 33rd South. Definitely very neglected industrial space that for the last fourth season we've been farming out there. And so we do that a little bit, but we also get calls all the time from people who say, I have, you know, half acre in my backyard, quarter acre in my yard. So, will you do that? And we, for the longest time, we didn't. And so this year we've actually launched a paid service where people can either consult with us to get it done or have us come in and do it for them for a fee. Because it's hard to, that was a hard thing to grant fund for. And we're a unique organization in the fact that about 50% of our revenue is not grant funded. It's earned income. So we're always looking for ways to do projects that bring in revenue to support the work we do, but also make food more accessible in the community. So,
okay. So if I'm somebody that has, you know, a quarter of an acre that I would love to commit to a garden, how does that work? I contact you and you can come up and walk the site.
Yeah. So you'd contact us, or go on our website, GULB.org.
Okay. Green Urban Lunchbox.
Yeah, Green Urban Lunch or greenurbanlunchbox.com, either or. Mm. You would, you know, fill out a form and say, here's some information. We'd probably jump on Google Earth, look at it, and say, oh, yeah, that will work, or maybe that will work, or no way. There's, you know, 200 trees right there. This is not going to work. And then we'd set up an appointment. We'd come out and we'd look at it, and then you can pick from a whole range of services from, like, I just need someone that I can call and talk to about this when I'm stumped, or I need someone to come out here every month and walk me through this, or I can't do this at all and I need someone to do it. And all those range of services are available to anyone. So,
and you use, or you're teaching, I guess, organic gardening
techniques. Yeah, right? We're all organic, and a bit beyond organic. We're really focused on this idea of regenerative agriculture, of sequestering carbon in the soil and really building soil health. Everything we do in our organization is geared around how do we make the soil healthier. Healthier soil holds more water, which is very important, as you guys were just talking about. Healthier soil uses less organic or inorganic fertilizer. It also holds that fertilizer in place so that we're not getting runoff in water. It's just healthier soil is the key to healthier farming, healthier food, grows healthier food.
And you're using, let's say, more natural sources of fertilizer?
Yep.
Rather than synthetic?
Yep. And really moving towards using no fertilizer at all is our end goal, is building soil microbiology. You know, there's all the nutrients that we need to grow plants is locked up in our soil. It's just inaccessible. What we're really trying to do is build, you know, I've never seen anyone fertilize the redwoods. You know, we're not fertilizing these old growth systems. Right. Those systems are healthy and intact. We're fertilizing systems because they're not healthy and intact. And so we slowly try to work towards a system where you're not fertilizing.
So again, additional education and awareness for any volunteers to take on. There's a lot to learn. So I assume that high school kids, college kids who are interested in this field of research.
We get them as volunteers all the time. We also run a farmer training program that just started yesterday.
Wow.
It's an 8-month program. It goes till the end of October. The students will work every week 10 hours apprenticing with us on our farm. Plus, they'll go to like 60-ish workshops between now and October. So,
wow. And again, how is your funding set up?
So about half of it comes from grants, corporations, a little bit of government funding. But the other half of it's earned income. We charge fees for services on like fruit trees, or we do these garden consultings, or people pay tuition. We run a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Veggie Box, that gets delivered to people every week.
Do you still have room in that for
coming year? I do have some CSA spots still in this coming year.
Okay.
And then we also do partnerships with like damaged fruit that comes out of our fruit share program. So like Mountain West Hard Cider makes a hard cider that's made from apples that a third of the proceeds go back to us. We did a apple liqueur with a water pocket fold that will be released. It has to age for a whole year, so it'll be released in the fall. We also did an apple whiskey with them. We do partnerships with local restaurants. It's a diverse revenue stream. And I like that because it gives us the freedom to experiment and to make mistakes and to try really cool new things.
And again, this all started from you seeing pickup trucks driving around New York with gardens inside them as demonstration. But it just evolves from there. And it's become really, really involved now. Really, pretty complicated.
Yeah, it's a very complicated thing. Many people say, oh, you guys with the bus. And I say, yeah, we have the bus, but, we care for 3,000 fruit trees, and we're growing 4 acres of vegetable production in the valley. And
right. And to put it in
classes.
And
a staff that you have as well, right?
Yeah, and a staff. And, we do 4 farmers markets at IHC cancer centers for cancer patients that are free every week.
Wow.
So, we host 8 markets every week where we're giving away produce for free. So
how big is your team?
I'm a really small team. I have 4 year-round staff and about 14 seasonal staff in the summer. 14 and so 10 seasonal staff. And then about 800 to 900 volunteers every year who give anywhere from, on our top end, they're giving, over 100 hours a year to, people come out 2 or 3 hours. So.
All right. And again, how do they get in touch with you?
Our website, greenurbanlunchbox.com or gulb.org.
All right.
Fantastic. Well, that's Sean Peterson, the executive director and founder of the Green Urban Lunchbox. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks so much
for having me. It's been fun.